some of you already know Robin Calvey, maybe through Sunday Morning Nursery, or if some of you have had the privilege to attend the new young parenting classes that are on Mondays. How many of you get to go to those? Oh, wow, quite a few of you. So you already know Robin. No introduction needed. Robin and her husband, Jim, have been married 24 years. They have 6 children, ages 7 to 21, and she's sending her next, the oldest one, off to the Navy this week, so that's a bittersweet event for her. Robin homeschools all her children, and she homeschools a lot of other children because she teaches homeschool classes in her home, so she is the homeschool queen. She is an avid reader. She loves books. She loves classical education. Robin is gifted in a variety of ways, but when I think of her, I love her enthusiasm and creativity in her home. She's an amazing homemaker. She does all kinds of great cooking. Her home is beautiful in decor, and she even makes her own soap. So who else would be better today than to come to speak on the verse, Proverbs 31:13, that she works with her hands in delight. So please welcome Robin.
Sound really great. That was awesome. I'm sure my children would have other things to fill in. I have spoken to women's groups before multiple times, and usually I get to talk about education. And usually there's a room full of faces I don't already know, which is great. It's much easier to pontificate about fun things. But today I'm looking at people I know and people I love, and I'm talking about hard work. And I'm hoping, I'm standing on my tippy toes too, because I'm really short, and I brought a stool. So I'm going to sit, because my goal today is that I talk not at you about being a hard worker, but that I talk with you about being a hard worker, about working with your hands, that I find a way to lovingly say, lots of you sweet people are a lot lazier than you should be. And you're getting distracted by things when God made work. And he made work good. I am no makeup today, straight hair, completely raw, because it is a rough week in the Calvey house. David's leaving. Everyone keeps saying, are you okay? And I'm good that David's leaving. I'm sad. I'll miss him. I'm worried about my little ones. I also, though, have a dad who a week ago was given 1 to 2 weeks. I am estranged from him. By his choice. So I am raw-ish this morning. So pray I would keep it together and not be over-emotional and stick to the task at hand as we talk about what it looks like to be a worker in your home, to build a home where your family comes and has rest and peace and feels like a sanctuary, and you are getting the things done that the Lord has on your plate for you to do. Work's good. I do teach classes, as Kathy pointed out, to homeschool students, and one of the subjects that we teach is Latin. And our little ones start with a book called Latina Christiana 1, and the very first phrase that they use is ora et labora. And it's an old phrase that the monks used, and it means pray and work. And I thought, the monks got some things wrong, but they got that one right. When your heart is heavy and when you need to get yourself to the place you need to be, when you need to be right with the Lord, he gave you a heart to pray and he gave you hands to work. And I thought about calling Martin Cochran this morning, who wrote the curriculum, and saying, hey, I had all in my head these idealistic ideas of why they came up with it, that particular phrase. Was there some great, you know, meaning? I have a feeling he'd say they're really easy verbs to learn for little kids in Latin. But pray and work. I would encourage you to think, pray about your situation and work. Our hands are good. We live in such a non-agrarian society. Any other culture you look at through the years, people had more time to work with their hands because they weren't, and when their hands, I don't mean their, you know, iPhones or their iPads or their keyboards. They had time They scrubbed their clothes. They did things. Half of you probably already know. Anyone? And so here's the deal. If you were to comment on something I say, I don't want this to be formal. Ask the question. Raise your hand. So here's your first question. Who knows what my most favorite chore in the whole world is? Angie. It is ironing, yes. It is not washing dishes. It is ironing. I love to iron. I've loved to iron since I was a little girl. I used to ask my mom. I grew up in a home where my mom ironed everything, kind of like me. And she taught me to iron doing the pillowcases. And I'd say, can I do those? And I'd lay them out and do the pillowcases. You know, it was easy to get nice corners and straight. And I loved it then because it gave me a beautiful finished product. Right? Ironing makes things smooth and pretty and just, they look good on the outside. But over time, God began to change my heart about ironing. It began to be something that didn't just have to look good on the outside, but it was a way for me to serve my family. It's work that gives my brain, by my hands being busy, time to contemplate. I would try. I don't always. Every now and then I'm in a bad mood and I pop the iPad up in front of the iron. So I don't want to give you false pretenses. But it's my intention most times to use that time to serve my family, to think about each of them. When I'm ironing little Hopi's, you know, pinafores and the little tucks in the dresses and things, to think about what are the wrinkles in her life? What's she struggling with? What's she need to focus on? I can pray. I like work that gives me time to contemplate my family. And I think we give up a lot of those things now because we're so focused on things that don't matter, on things that don't have an eternal value. And we present work now as though it's this burdensome, horrible, terrible thing. Ugh. I have to go get work done. I have to go dust the house. I have to go, you know, vacuum the floors. Aside from the fact that it's a vacuumed floor is pretty, what a great time to redeem your time when you're working and let your brain ponder. We live in a society where, you guys, we are filled with these things. But that's not the model God gave us, to be tapping away on a keyboard or filling ourselves with busyness when we can be contemplating those things that He has for us to think about. We are talking today about Proverbs 31, and I think you told me when I sent you my first notes that you were going to cover the first couple things. Does anyone already know how cool Proverbs 31 is? Do you know that there are 22 characters? Because there are 22 verses. Did you guys get told this already? It's an acrostic. If you read in the original Hebrew, so the 22 verses that make up our description of, you know, perfect woman there, all start with a single letter that represented a characteristic so that the women could memorize. Hebrew is a great, but languages in general are a great way to learn. But God laid out patterns throughout Scripture for us of how we should work. And that's what we're going to look at. And I'm hoping we can talk about today working wisely and joyfully. And so I'm looking for a place to set my water. And I'm real. I think it's going to roll right off, but it's not. So God gave us, in the beginning of Scripture, when Scripture opens, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And so I made you guys a chart on my fancy whiteboard, because I love whiteboards, of the days of creation. So we have day one, day and night. And we see that God gave us what we would call light, right? We went from darkness to having light. And I'll try to pull this together in the end so it makes sense. Day two, heaven and earth. He gave form to that. Day three, seas and land. He gave fullness. He filled it up. Day four, sun, moon, and stars. He ordered the light that He had given. It wasn't just there. It was organized. And it had a pattern. It made sense. And then the creatures of the sky and the sea, there was form. And then finally, He gave us land, animals, and man. So there was fullness. God didn't create the earth in a way that He simply Sorry, let me put this down. I should have brought a stand. He didn't just willy-nilly, you know, make a giraffe and then make the sun and then, you know, pull things any way he could. He thought it through, because he can think better than us, and he put it together in a way that made sense and order. And I think we are also called to work wisely, to work in a way that makes sense. And, oh, that's the mic, sorry. And in a way that has form and order and fullness, that isn't willy-nilly. I listed 5, 6, 7 reasons from Scripture, and I'm going to read you a couple of them, but I hope and I think I don't have to convince you that God sees work as good and that he calls us to it. Ecclesiastes 3:22 says, "So I saw that there is nothing better than that man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot." Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." Doesn't that give you a reason to work with joy? You're not working for you. You're working for your Creator, who loves you, who made you, who redeemed you, and everything you do is not for yourself, but for Him. 2 Thessalonians is a little heavier. 3:6-14. "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we did not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note of that person and have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed." Those are kind of heavy words, aren't they? So if you were to ask your dearest, closest, bestest friend in the whole world, who you felt could be honest with you, to be 100% transparent, and explain what kind of worker you were, what would they say? Would they say you're characterized by hard work? Would they say you're characterized by wise choices in how you work and spend your time? Would they say you're characterized by working unto the Lord with a joyful heart, with a happy heart to serve Him? And as young mamas, would they say that you model to your children that work is a good thing? That we're blessed to be able to work. We're blessed to have the mental capacity, the physical capacity, the emotional capacity to work for our families. Or would they hem and haw, and would they look above your eyes, and would they answer in a way, "Yeah, you're a nice worker"? What would they say? So I want to spend our time talking about what are real ways you can work for your family. What are boots on the ground? What are the things that a woman does to build her home for the Lord? What are the things we work at? You don't have to iron everything, but I will tell you, and there are a few women here who have tested my theory by crawling in my bed, and there are a few things nicer than some sweet iron sheets, right? Iron sheets are nice, but you don't have to iron everything. But do you work for your family? Do you spend your time? What does it look like? Is your home organized? And by organized, I don't mean is everything in perfect little order, like, you know, you're a crazy person like me. But is your home run in a way that you don't live in chaos? Do you know what you're doing when? Do you know what's coming? Do you have a schedule that tells you what events are upcoming? Or are you characterized by, I forgot we had this today? Calendars are beautiful things. Do you write down what you need to do? Because if you do, your yes can be yes and your no can be no, and you're not disappointing people. Do you have a realistic schedule for your life? Do you have time in the Word? And can I make a, I'm going to make a total aside. Here's the deal. Someone told me when I was a young mom, I used to want my quiet time to be my own quiet time. I used to want it to be something I did before my children got up or after they went to bed so that they would, you know, not distract me from my personal time. That was my personal time with Jesus. No one should intrude. And then someone reminded me, don't you want your kids to see you're in the Word? So now I'm happy to say, I do my quiet time so my kids can see, because it's a model. So that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Just really wise words I was given a long time ago. Have your quiet time and let your kids see. But back to work. So your schedule. Do you know what you're doing for meals? Are you planning out what your family's going to eat so you can be a wise steward? How many of you grocery shop more than 3 times a week? That's really awesome. You should plan your meals. You should know what you're serving your family. You should live a life with order. Now, Robin's saying you should live a life with order. There's scriptural backup for that, but be clear. Those are my words. Your life is easier if you live with order instead of chaos. What are your own bends? What's going to distract you from your schedule? What's going to push you away from what you know you're called to do? Anyone want to throw anything out there? No? Facebook. Does that distract the way you work wisely or the way you work joyfully? Or both? Want to be one of those crazy ranting women who says Facebook's terrible. It's not terrible. But if you're spending more time looking for recipes on Instagram than you are making recipes on Instagram, you might not be working wisely. If you're spending more time looking at what your house could look like than you are making it look like that, you might not be working wisely. And probably your joy's getting squashed. Because you know what's probably happening? You're probably envious. You're probably measuring yourself against what other people's house. Well, guess what? Do y'all know those magazines that you see with the, you know, house beautiful and the room looks... The room looks not like that. Do y'all know those are staged, right? You know they take the pictures off the coffee tables. And they rearrange things so it looks good for the picture and then put it back normally. Don't let social media sap up your life. So meals, scheduling. What else are areas you find yourself not working? How's your laundry system? Laundry and meals are the two things that kill families. Here's the deal. I have a laundry system, and it works fabulous for me because I know my family. Find things that work for your family that you're going to realistically do. We happen to have little bins where everyone drops their stuff in. They're labeled warm, cold, cotton sturdy, and whites. So you take off your clothes, you bring them to the laundry room, you drop them in the bin. That works for us. It might not work for you, but you have to have a system that works, that you can do, that your family can meet. That meant when I had little tiny kids and people would say, well, how do you get your kids to sort your laundry? Well, if they're 6 months old, you sort it for them. But when they're 2, I took a black Sharpie, and on every little tag, I put a W for warm, and I dropped it in. and they would watch me. And then we'd say, okay, see, W matches the little tag. And they would drop that in. And guess what? There was a C for cold. We found a system that let my kids see work wasn't bad, work wasn't hard. We get lots of questions with the parenting group and just with moms over the years. What chores do you let your little children do? Anything you can do that isn't going to hurt them. Baseboards, baby wipes are your best friends with a toddler. I used to tell my children, here's four baby wipes. Whoever's is the dirtiest from the corners in the next 2 minutes gets a quarter. I wanted them to think work was fun. I wanted them, and sometimes that meant we washed dishes and mommy rewashed them or was sneaky, but let your kids help you. Model that work is good. Don't make it a drudgery. Don't make it this thing that you have to accomplish so you can have fun. Why would you do that? Because guess what? Your kids are going to work when they're 3, and when they're 13, and when they're 23, and 33, and 43, and 53, on, as long as the Lord leaves them here on earth. Are you setting patterns that make your kids think work is a drudgery? Or are you setting patterns that make them think it's joyful? It sounds trite to say, again, to bring up, that we should be grateful to use our hands. But we should be. Let your brain think. Let your brain soar and contemplate great realities of theology and scripture and your God, your maker, while your hands do work. What prevents you from working with joy? You know what it is for me? Go ahead, Kimber.
Self-righteousness, thinking I deserve something else and you want to get that.
Yeah, me too. Pride. I've been doing this tour a really long time. Do I really still have to do it? Aren't I created for better things than cleaning a bathroom well? Aren't I created for better things than sweeping the floor for like the 50th time this week? And with 28 kids at my house, you know, twice a week plus 6 kids, if you think 50 times a week is an exaggeration, it's not. That's my reality. And a golden retriever. Bad choice. But sweeping is something that I feel like I'm too good for. I could be writing a book. I could be studying great literature. Except that God was gracious and kind enough in his compassion to put me in a home with 6 kids to influence and lots of sweet other little people to influence and to show that I'm not too good to sweep a floor. I just think I am. We tend to look at our work schedules and act like we have better things, but really? How do I look at sweeping a floor or washing a bathroom? Is it a drudgery? Or am I fortunate? I tell my kids all the time it's a really good thing they weren't born Hebrew slaves. And they look at me and they roll their eyes and they know, here it comes, here comes Mama. But the reality is, it is, and I forget. My me time needs to be time I love on my kids. Time I love on them by showing them that God is good and put them where they belong. What else keeps you from working hard? Thinking you're too good for it, Carrie? Self-indulgence. And what is self-indulgence?
Anything that you enjoy more than
a chore. Anything you enjoy more. It's saying you know better for your life what God wants for you than he does. You don't have to have a spotless home. But you do have to have a heart that seeks to do all things to his glory. You do have to have a heart that says, I want my home to reflect the character of Christ. I want my home to have order. I want my home to be welcoming. I don't want to panic when someone rings the doorbell. I don't want to live in a state of anxiety. I want to live in peace. You know, part of David's, his job going into the Navy requires what they call an SSBI. That's a single scope background investigation. So it's some top security thing, and it means he has a full, complete background investigation by the FBI. So they told us they will go visit all their neighbor, our neighbors. They will knock on the door approximately 3 times over the next 3 months at will and want to come in and see your home. And I'm thinking, wait, this is for David, who won't even be here. So do I have to have my home perfect all the time? Guess what? I don't. But I do have to have it in a state where if my doorbell rings, I don't panic. I don't live showing the world one thing, but living under someone else. And if you panic when the doorbell rings, what that means is that you want the world to see something you aren't. Right? If you think, what am I going to do? Because the reality is sometimes baby needs a little extra TLC in the morning, and you don't get to do the breakfast dishes right then, and that's not the end of the world. And when someone rings the doorbell, and you're holding fussy baby, there is no shame in that. But if you're sitting down, playing on Facebook, posting recipes, and the dishes haven't been done in 4 days, you know what? You should feel ashamed. You should. You should feel like I'm not managing my time the way God has called me to manage it. We're selfish, you guys. We're so selfish. Like, to the bottom of our core, we're lazy and we're selfish because we're sinners. And we choose whether to reject that and make wise decisions about how we manage our homes. And we choose whether to reject that selfishness and be joyful in serving our families or to be resentful. Some of us work to escape. That's me sometimes. So if you work to avoid your reality, that's not any good either. But if you don't work, God calls that bad. What's another reason that you don't serve your families through working for them? You overbook. Why? Because you can't say no. Because guess what? That would look bad. And everyone is supposed to think you can do it all, right? You can do it all. Can you? Can you do everything, though, that God has planned for you to do? What you can't do is the extra things that you have planned for yourself. And so then we have all these people who shut down and do nothing. We are called to work for our families and work for them first. If you aren't making dinner for your family, if you aren't living in a home with a normal amount of pickup and not inch-thick dust on the light bulbs in your bathroom because it would never occur to you to clean them, if you aren't living in a home that is welcoming to your family, you're working outside your family more than you should be. You were each, everyone here is married, right? Yeah. You were each given a husband by the Lord. And you're called to serve him. And since this is a mom's group, I'm going to assume you were each given children too, or are about to have them, by the Lord to serve. Are you working for them? Are you working for the Lord by serving your kids? And if not, why not? And what are you going to do to change it? When you get home, I don't want anyone to go home today and go, okay, cleaning central, 101, start at the front door and walk your way through and say, my house is clean, I'm good. I want you to go home and I want you to contemplate, where do you serve your family well? And where do you need to focus on serving them in ways that utilize the gifts that God has given you?